蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
在超过100多个国家中，遍布全球的每一个角落，从伊朗到非洲的厄里特里亚，从尼日利亚到北朝鲜，为了守住福音的真理，超过2.15亿的基督徒正遭受着恐吓、监禁、财产剥夺、咒骂、骚扰，甚至更糟糕的事情。这是当地时间2017年5月11日。在美国首都华盛顿特区召开的全球首届保护受迫害基督徒世界峰会中，美国副总统麦克彭斯在演讲中说到的。你现在收听到的是良友电台的双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today》，我是乐心，和我一起主持的是 Charles Morris。为了鼓励人们在全球范围内去保护受迫害的基督徒，著名的福音布道家比尔·格里汉牧师的儿子葛夫林牧师发起了保护受迫害基督徒世界峰会。你的身边有没有正在受迫害的基督徒呢？你了解他们的故事吗？蓝天绿洲进入7月份的新系列，叫做 Psalms for the Persecuted Church。 在这个系列的节目当中，我们将会听到中东宣教的弟兄姐妹讲述他们的信仰故事。正如美国副总统麦克彭斯说的，在整个世界中，没有任何一个其他信仰的人比基督的跟随者遭受更多的敌对和憎恶。或许现在就是时候让我们停下为自己祷告，而是为那些在患难中经受折磨的基督徒来祷告。
Welcome to Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story that's all about Jesus, and we're coming to you from the largest meeting on the persecuted church ever held. 130 countries represented, and sponsored by, who else? The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. We're calling our series this week Psalms for the Persecuted Church. Today you'll hear several voices, but we'll also be talking about God speaking to those who are hurting and persecuted through the Psalms, like Psalm 18, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The Psalms, the single most source of God's strength in times of persecution. So who do you meet at a meeting of the persecuted church? Well, you meet somebody like from Rwanda, who survived the genocide in his country. He sensed God saved him for a reason. He went off to college in a North African country, predominantly Muslim. He noticed in a city of hundreds of thousands, not a single church. Guess what? He planted a church against all human odds. He has suffered for his Savior. And yet this one church is small but growing. What message do we need to hear?
God does not promise that we will have a smooth journey from here to death. There are those who die of cancer. There are those who die of sword. There are those who die of persecution. But what God does promise is a safe landing in the presence of a Jesus who welcomes them.
That's Erwin Lutzer, preaching hard to members of the persecuted church. Now I'm ready to get started. How about you? From Haven Today, broadcasting from Washington, D.C., we open with Audrey Assad.
Jesus, the very thought of you, it fills my heart. Jesus, you burn like wildfire, and I am overcome. Lover of my soul, even unto death.
A song written after the beheading of 21 Coptic Christians by ISIS on the beach in Tripoli in 2015. Who will ever forget that scene? Audrey Azzad, and Even Unto Death, opening this Haven Today. We're coming from Washington. Audrey Azzad's father came to the U.S. as a refugee from Syria in the 1970s. I'm Charles Morris. We're turning to the Psalms that speak so much to the persecuted church. Scripture like Psalm 18. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Now, back in Washington, I want to share a testimony with you. Susanna Geske, she had gone from Germany to Turkey for her honeymoon. She and her husband were Christians, just married, celebrating their new life as husband and wife in Istanbul. They were so struck by the need for the gospel that they went back later with their two children as missionaries full-time, and they began to build relationships and share the love of Jesus.
Yeah, I can't say they were very open, but there were some people who were curious to ask us questions about Christianity because they didn't really know what it's all about or had false ideas. So it's easy to come to talk with them about religious things. It's no problem. But if you come then deeper into the things, then it starts to get weird. So the best thing is always to just have friendship, be together with them, live your faith, and then they start asking questions. Why are you doing this and why are you not doing this and why do you handle things like this? And then you can start again. It's a long process.
Were people professing faith in Christ, and what did you have? Was the church starting to grow?
Yes, they did, and the church grew. Actually, in Turkey, we have in newspapers with advertisement like, "Do you have a Bible? Do you want one?" So they would send people Bibles, and then would send them questions. So if they sent that back, they would have like little Bible correspondence course. And when then someone was really interested, we got their address or their telephone number so we could contact them. And then they would come to us or we would meet somewhere. And in the end, they would come to church. Actually, we'd never had a church. In the beginning, we always met in our house. So they would come to our house for church. So it was always a little bit process. And lots of people came this way. And with internet then afterwards coming, internet is a real good thing. You click, you ask for all this question in Google, and Google knows everything. So it comes up, and lots of pages, Christian pages in Turkey. So, and if then someone is interesting, they can even find out the number and the address of a church in Turkey. So they would find us.
So people are coming, they're meeting in your home. I'm sure some are professing faith in Christ, perhaps. Tell us a little bit about what that was like for them to leave Islam and come to know Jesus.
Yes, lots of people. We have a kind of church, and the people started believing. And normally they would first hide it and not tell anybody. Some people were really crazy and just blow it out everywhere, but then they got it. Then they were thrown out of the family and what, bad things would happen. But normally they would a little bit slow, and then we would say, you see, after a while we should talk to your mom or to your dad or whatever. So slowly but surely they would confess. And they would, some of them, the people, the family would say, oh, fine, I don't care. That would be the nicest one. And the worst one would say, I throw you out, and you will not belong to my family anymore, and put the stuff in front of the door. So you can have the whole range.
What was the turning point? Is your husband was killed for his faith? Tell us a little bit about that story.
Actually, we were in a church with two pastors, not a Turkish pastor and a Turkish youth pastor and my husband, and they had together a little office where they normally would invite people for the first time because we didn't want them right away come to our homes. So they would talk in this office. And there were some guys who were asking around and came several times drinking tea and asking all these questions, what you normally do. And on that day, they did it again. They came again, and they started that way. And then they asked, well, five people. So the first two came, and then they asked the other three to come as well. And they did like they want to ask questions about Christianity, but their aim was different. So in the end, they locked them in and killed all three of them.
You're living there with your two daughters and your son. I know you had said there was, you know, some persecution for being a Christian. Did you expect something like this to happen?
No, actually not. We knew that, especially the other two, the Turkish guys, they were going out in little villages, and we would expect them maybe to end up in prison or to, we had some people saying bad things or so, but not really till the end. So we never expected this. Especially my husband was a very quiet man. He wouldn't go out in any places to sit and talk with people. So no idea, really not.
What happened to, were the men caught?
They were catched in the act right away because someone else wanted to go in the office and figure out it's clocked. And he asked the police to come, and then the police got all five of them. So they were in prison. And now after 9 years of court, finally they got a verdict, and the five guys are in prison forever, hopefully. But these five guys were 18 to 20 when they did it, so no one does this just out of nothing. So they were really infiltrated with these ideas from someone else. So we believe that is the last little thing on the chain, and that the beginning must be somewhere else. So we tried for nearly 9 years to figure out who were these people and who are they doing. And we know there are people behind, but we couldn't track them down. So these are still there around, but the other five young boys, they are in prison.
What are your thoughts and prayers for these five, as well as for the country of Turkey? Obviously, you're not living there anymore, but I'm sure you have a heart for the people, right?
Oh, yes, I have a heart for people, and in 14 months we will move back to Turkey, so we will go back, and we really love the country. And we actually pray for the five guys that they may be one day, like Saul, become believers and see Jesus, because we don't have anything against them. I forgave them wholeheartedly. And, yeah, for Turkey, we really pray that we still can be open, we still can have services, and that people can get to know Jesus.
Can you believe that? Susanna Geske, interviewed by our executive producer, Troy Lamberth, she loses her husband. She wants to go back to Turkey. I don't often meet Christians who want to go back after losing their spouse as a martyr. Would I do that? I was asking myself. after our interview with Susanna Geske. I'm Charles Morris. You're listening to Haven Today. We're coming from Washington and the largest conference ever held on the persecuted church. Greetings at this historic event came from the son of Billy Graham, Franklin. They also came from the Vice President of the United States, himself a professing Christian.
And those of you gathered here today are emblematic of millions across the world. You've persevered through the crucible of persecution. You refuse to be conformed to this world. You have chosen instead to be counted with those outside the city gate for your faith. By your life, you bear witness to the truth that brings us together here at this summit. The reality is, across the wider world, Christian faith is under siege. Throughout the world, no people of faith today face greater hostility or hatred than followers of Christ. In more than 100 countries spread to every corner of the globe, from Iran to Eritrea, Nigeria to North Korea, over 215 million Christians confront intimidation, imprisonment, forced conversion, abuse, assault, or worse, for holding to the truths of the gospel.
The Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, speaking to Christians from 130 countries gathering in Washington. This conference, where we're coming from today, was sponsored by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Several here are old enough to have met and heard the evangelist, who turns 99 later this year. His son, Franklin, is now the president of both Samaritan's Purse and BGEA. Here are the facts.
Today, our Christian brothers and sisters in many countries are facing persecution and martyrdom on an unprecedented scale. In fact, throughout the world, the number of Christians facing hostility, persecution, and even death is greater than any other time in history. No part of the Christian family is exempt, Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, nor is any part of the world exempt. In many places, it's caused by intense and growing anti-Christian movements within Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. In other parts of the world, its anti-religious political ideologies are openly hostile to Christian faith. Other Christians face persecution in societies that are riddled with corruption and lawlessness, drug cartels, or they are imprisoned and killed because of civil wars and tribal conflict. The rising tide of modern secularism that we see here in Western countries, Western societies, which is creeping into other nations around the world, is strongly anti-Christian.
Sitting down later with Franklin Graham, I asked him, where is our hope?
The gospel. We have to remember the most persecuted person in all of history was the Lord Jesus Christ. When he took the sins of mankind on that cross, and when he was nailed to that cross, God poured out on his son the sins past, the sins present, the sins future. So much so that at some point God turned his back to his son. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou deserted me? Okay, Jesus died on that cross. He was buried for our sins. On the third day, God raised his son to life. This is the only hope for the world, is the gospel. Jesus Christ can change hearts. I can't change hearts. Christ can. And I want to try to do all that I can to wake up the world. And I want the world to know that God loves them, that Christ died for them. He can change your life. He can change your heart. And without Christ, there is no hope. There's no hope for this world. None. And the greatest message that any of us can be a part of giving and is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. There's no greater message than that right there.
Thanks, Franklin, for joining us on the program today. From the largest persecuted church conference in history, I'm Charles Morris. song sung at the largest conference ever on the persecuted church, Michael W. Smith, leading Christians from 130 countries, singing Agnus Dei together. This is Charles Morris, and I'm with Haven today, and we're doing Psalms for the persecuted church. Real stories from today. God's word for today.
节目的最后，乐心想和你分享美国副总统麦克彭斯在全球首届保护受迫害基督徒世界峰会当中的其他演讲。也许你和乐心一样，对于国际新闻不怎么的关注，也不太清楚在其他地方的信徒受逼迫的情况。那么希望借着这个系列的节目，让我们一起来重视为信仰受迫害的弟兄姊妹祷告。基督徒社区，也就是教会，是我们主的信息首次被发表和接纳的地方，但是如今它却成为了恶劣行为的中心。不久之前，我们看到埃及的教堂爆炸，那一天他们正在欢庆宗师主日，本来呢是充满希望的一天，结果却成为了悲痛的一日。抵挡我们信仰的势力无处不在，这种抵挡的程度甚至比在基督教诞生的那片古老土地上的程度更加的严重。2000年以来，基督的使徒们，也就是我们信仰的先驱们，他们从以色列往各地分散，给全世界带来了好消息。这个好消息就是我们现今向全世界所宣告的。在叙利亚的河谷，在巴勒斯坦，在尼尼微的平原，以及在尼罗河的沿岸，底格里斯河以及幼发拉底河，这些基督的使徒们，他们栽种信心的种子，并予以浇灌，他们将这些看为是自己的性命，这果子那个时候所结出来的勇气以及福音的果子，一直积累到如今。在伊拉克，因为极端分子的作为，我们看到修道院被拆毁，牧师和修道士被斩首。在摩苏尔，曾经拥有2000年的基督教传统，一夜之间就突然消失了。在叙利亚，我们看到古老的社区被焚毁，我们见到信徒因为承认基督的缘故而惨遭虐待，女人和小孩子受到了最可怕的刑罚，他们被卖为奴隶。这些被仇恨所驱使的卑劣行为，对基督福音的仇恨，这些人是这个时代邪恶的化身。激进的伊斯兰恐怖分子，从基地组织到伊斯兰青年党，从博克圣地再到塔利班，这些极端组织企图毁灭一切不属于他们的宗教，甚至也不能容忍与他们不同的观点。在这一片被赋予生命的土地上，我们的基督信仰正面临着前所未有的威胁。对某些社区的威胁，可以说是从摩西带领以色列人出埃及以来从来没有遇到的。在叙利亚，短短的6年时间，基督徒人数从125万骤然降到50万。在伊拉克，基督的跟随者在过去的15年时间里下降了80%。一半的原因是因为极端主义的暴力以及敌基督团体他们的行为。
Jesus, the very thought of you, it fills my heart with love. Jesus, you burn like wildfire, and I am overcome. Lover of my soul, even unto death.
为正在受迫害的基督徒祷告。也许呢，这个就是今天听完节目之后，我们每个人心中最有负担要做的事情。那心真的鼓励你，在听完节目之后，可以至少花一到两分钟的时间，来为到那些中东的正在为信仰受到严重逼迫的弟兄姊妹来祷告，求神加添他们力量，求神给他们开一条恩典的道路，让他们可以在患难当中更多的去经历到上帝的信实。这就是今天蓝天绿洲的全部节目内容了，非常谢谢你的收听，也非常鼓励你在明天的同一时间继续守候在良友电台的 Haven Today 蓝天绿洲。我是 Charles， 在明天的同一时间与你不见不散，拜拜。